From Stamford to Stratford, from Westport to Wilton, Fairfield County listens to the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600.
Some breaking political news for those political junkies out there. J.R. Romano, who is the Connecticut State GOP chair, has announced that he is not going to seek re-election. He will let his term finish out in June. He's from Derby, and of course, there were a number of controversies throughout his term, but nonetheless, he's decided he wants to move on to other things. So just in case you're a political junkie, you may want to know, in case you want to run for chair of the state Republican Party, it looks like that office is open. Joining us right now is a professor of nursing, Nicholas Nicholson, who has been with us earlier on the and he has a tremendous resume in public health and nursing and has been very involved and active throughout this entire COVID-19 crisis. So we can open up the phones for you if you've got specific questions at 203-333-9422. Good morning, Professor. Welcome back to the show today. Good morning.
Hey, Lisa. Good morning. It's really nice to be back with you. It's been a little while, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has been a little while. So I wanted to tell you that I read a Johns Hopkins University study yesterday that was contained in the local JHU magazine because I'm an alum. Otherwise, what would I be doing reading studies? But I read these magazines, and then, you know, as a layman, I try and absorb what I can absorb. And what I absorbed was a study that was completed over the summer in July showed that in Maryland, they tested the people in the nursing homes for COVID that exhibited symptoms of COVID. And so they found that overall the rate was 17% of everybody in nursing homes in Maryland that had COVID. That was what was reported. Mm-hmm. But actually, this study then went back and tested everybody in the nursing homes after the state had done its thing. And they found out that if you tested both asymptomatic and symptomatic people in nursing homes, that the result went up to 40% of people in Maryland in these nursing homes had COVID-19. 40% versus the state's reporting of 17% when they only bothered to test people with symptoms. Now, you're a nurse. You're teaching this. You're learning this every day. You know, does this make sense to you? Are we really seeing that many asymptomatic people with COVID-19?
Yeah, so it's an interesting thing, right? The last time I was here on the program, I mean, it was very early on. We're still learning a lot, and you know, that hasn't changed. I mean, we still are learning a lot about this new virus and how it, you know, all the symptoms and the various body systems that it attacks. So that's my caveat, you know, that we are still learning things all the time. But for me, I think that this is something that is really being moved by not only folks who are actively, you know, coughing, sneezing, all the that kind of business, but I think now we're learning more about the bioaerosols, just the regular talking and breathing, about how that transmits the virus from person to person. And I think we're also learning about, you know, these folks who are asymptomatic and the possibilities of them transmitting as well. So I'm not surprised to hear that 40% of people, you know, have this thing. I think it's really hard with the testing. The testing has been a challenge from the very beginning. And I still think there needs to be a lot of work, just testing more people and not just people who have symptoms. I mean, there still are barriers to getting people out there and tested. And the more testing we have, the better information we have. So that really is something that I'm hoping, but, you know, that the state and, you know, beyond are able to kind of work on putting more resources into the testing.
We're chatting with Nurse Nicholas Nicholson of Quinnipiac University, Professor of Nursing at 203-333-9422. In a couple of breaking stories today, the Norwalk Hour is reporting that people away from testing facilities in Norwalk simply because they ran out of tests, and that wasn't making people happy, so other testing centers are opened. But also WFSB reporting that Connecticut ordered all nursing homes to test their employees after surges in COVID-19 were reported at these nursing homes. And, you know, the nursing homes, Professor, have been our real weakness here in Connecticut, as well as obviously New York. But the thing is, Dr. Gifford, who is the interim DPH commissioner, is ordering the mandatory testing of all staff to be done every week. But she's not ordering the mandatory testing of every resident to be done every week unless there is a formal outbreak in the nursing home. Does that make it too late? Is that the right and wise policy for Connecticut?
Well, I think that for me, if I were asked about how best to mitigate this type of outbreak and to keep things, you know, on the lower side, and in Connecticut, and I think to a large extent, even New York as well, are doing a fairly good job at controlling things. But I think you hit the nail right on the head when you were talking about long-term care settings, particularly nursing homes. That has been a real challenge to keep the virus out, and once it's in, to halt the spread from person to person. And if you look at some of the testing strategies, and you just mentioned a few, you know, you've got a room of people, right? So this environment is, somewhat contained, a nursing home, for example. And you've got these rooms, these large rooms, small rooms, it's all really this one giant atmosphere. And you're only testing some of the people that are inside that closed bubble, but you're not testing all the people, and you're not testing them at regular intervals. So in some ways, for me, I feel like that's a waste of resources. If you've got a building and you're only testing some of the people some of the time, I think that really puts you behind the eight ball in detecting things as they're occurring in real time. If it were me, I would suggest, pulling resources and trying to test everybody at regular intervals for a particular period of time. Maybe it's every week for, 1 month, six weeks, something like that, to get a baseline. And then after that, once you really establish a baseline, then at that point, you can then do some sampling. There are sampling techniques you could do to do regular checks. But for me, it doesn't make sense. You're testing, even if you test all the residents, then you have folks that are leaving the bubble, the staff, and then they're coming back into the bubble.
Right. So
to me, either test everybody or don't test anybody and give somebody else the resources to do it properly.
Yeah, because Deirdre Gifford said the order applies to 214 nursing homes in the state and 212 assisted living facilities in the state. And what she says is if a facility is experiencing an outbreak defined as at least one new facility onset case of COVID-19 among residents or at least one new case among staff, then the facility goes into testing all staff and residents weekly. But again, it seems to me that then we're being reactive and not proactive, because if so many people are walking around asymptomatic, but they actually test positive, you would have to do separations to prevent the outbreak, right? I mean, otherwise, what's the point?
Agreed. Yeah, I think that there needs to be a lot of testing that needs to be ramped up. And I think that it needs to be ramped up in a way where, we've tried a lot of different things, where we've tried just testing a few people, testing here and there. I do think it's important that we test everybody to establish a baseline. And then I think at that point, there needs to be a situation where there are techniques that look at this. There needs to be a certain percentage based on the number of folks who are in that community that need to be tested regularly, regardless of whether there's a diagnosed case. Because when there's a diagnosed case at that point, if they are asymptomatic, now they're, spreading things around.
They're
so if you're testing people.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think that I think the approach needs to change. And it's been really difficult, I think, because some of these I don't know exactly the reason why. I think it's resources. It's been very, very difficult to get the testing. And there's been a lot of problems. We've been hearing about them from the very beginning. But I do think that, it's sort of like we've got to put all the resources in now to hold off, to get back to a baseline. Because guess what? The winter time's coming. folks are going to be inside more. And now we've got the flu that's now going to be sort of compounded with this COVID-19. I'm not trying to, you know, scare people or anything like that. But what I'm saying is the symptoms of influenza and the symptoms of COVID are very similar. And they're different viruses, obviously, but people can have both at the same time. They can have one or the other, and it's going to cause real confusion. So I think that, you know, you are absolutely right that the testing needs to be ramped up. And I think that, you know, it needs to be ramped up in a way that we are doing more and more testing, more sampling. And then once we get a real hold on things, then we can get back to that sort of regular sampling. But I think if you are testing people only after there's a confirmed case, then what you're doing is you're trying to catch up. You're
trying to
wasting
catch up.
Time.
And we know nursing homes, if people get COVID in nursing homes, they're sitting ducks. I mean, we know this. You know,
yeah,
they're not there because they're already healthy people with great immune systems. I mean, you know, I'm in the nursing homes pretty regularly, or I was before COVID, as a probate judge. And you're not in a nursing home unless you need 24/7 assistance with most of your activities of daily living. Well, you know, an average healthy person is not in a nursing home, no matter what their age is. They're already not healthy. So, you know, you compound that with getting this virus, and they're particularly vulnerable and fragile. And then you compound that with family that doesn't get to check in on them regularly, that doesn't get to assist the staff. You know, it's one thing to look 2020 backwards and say, well, our leaders didn't know about it then, and it was a terrible tragedy, and we did the best we could then, but 2020 hindsight, we don't have that anymore as an excuse, Professor. We know what this is.
I can't agree with you anymore. I mean, I think that our nursing home, residents, the older adults there are among the most vulnerable. And, you know, at the end of the day, they've got nowhere to go. Just like you said, they're not there because, you know, they want to be. They're there because they have to be. And there definitely needs to be additional protections. And there are limited tools in the toolbox right now. There's, conflicting data on effective treatments. There might be one hospital-based treatment that's shown some effectiveness, but outside of that, there's very limited treatment. There's, you know, who knows where things are with vaccines. I see trials being halted, restarted, which, you know, can be common, but, you know, who knows when that's going to happen and the rollout and if the effectiveness of that and different populations. Right now, we're testing predominantly healthy younger people, you know, and is that going to translate to populations like older adults and the vulnerable people who are the people who probably really need that immunity? So, you know, the best thing that we can do right now is prevent it altogether. And that means testing, like you said, and I think we've really got to get away from this whole 6 feet business, because I think for me, 6 feet is may or may not be enough. You know, I think of it like the cup of coffee, right, that you're pouring in the morning with this whole 6 feet business. You've got your black coffee. Some people drink it like that, and that is great. But for me, I, you know, do add a little bit of milk or half and half. And, you know, every drop of milk you put in, one drop doesn't make a difference. Two drops, nope. But eventually, if you put enough drops in there, all of a sudden your coffee is now, you know, cream colored.
So what are you saying, Professor? You're saying people shouldn't go near each other at all? What are you saying?
Well, what I'm saying here is the concentration of the virus builds up. And just like that cup of coffee, the more that people are in, situations where they're densified, there's a lot of people in the situation, in a room, something like that. The more that people breathe, the more that builds up, just like the cup of coffee. And if there's somebody in there who's asymptomatic, who's not wearing a mask, then that creates a situation of transmitting things. You know, so people have to be aware that 6 feet is just for those heavy droplets. You know, now we're, you know, the guidance is changing a little bit as far as what even the CDC is saying, as far as the ways that it can be transmitted. So the droplets are the main way. But if people are in a room inside, the heat's on, no ventilation, all that kind of stuff, which, you know, you've been in a lot of nursing homes. I've been in a lot of them too. And,
they are warm. They're warm because
they're
the people
warm.
Are cold. Because
and I don't see a lot of window. I mean,
cold. It's true.
Yeah, I mean,
right.
I'm. Yeah. So people have to be careful. It was like, you know, when everyone used to smoke in the restaurants, how they had those little glass barriers between the people. We thought, this is the smoking section and this is the non-smoking section. The smoke was everywhere, you know?
Listen, I used to work for TWA and offer people the opportunity to sit in the smoking or non-smoking section of the plane. And even I knew how ridiculous that was. Like, smoke is really not going to go to the front or the back or wherever it was. I know. But, you know, it is what it is. It's in the air. It's going to travel where it travels. Well, I want to thank you, Professor Nicholas Nicholson of Quinnipiac University. Thank you so much for being on our show today. We really much appreciate your advice about all of this COVID-19. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Lisa. It's always a pleasure to be here with you.
We'll be right back with more of the Lisa Wexler Show coming up.